You're listening to The Bouquet Toss, the podcast that helps you plan your day your way by helping you figure out what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans. Welcome back to The Bouquet Toss. This season, we are both posing and attempting to answer the question, why weddings? It feels like such a large, almost existential question, especially because weddings are found in almost every society. Weddings are one of the only rituals or events that many cultures of the world consistently have in common. So if almost every society has some form of a wedding ritual, weddings should be for everyone. And unfortunately, it doesn't always feel that way.
Inclusion in the wedding industry has historically left much to be desired, so today we are speaking with a DEI expert to learn how to create a wedding that is both equitable and inclusive. So with us today is Milka, who is a co-founder, author, inclusion and equity strategist, leadership coach, facilitator, and organizational change consultant. She has a background in cultural anthropology and Middle Eastern studies from Columbia University, and an MBA from Babson College Graduate School of Business. She currently lives in sunny Miami with her fiancé, Laurent, and his daughter, Jess, and their mini golden doodle, Dammy, and is in the midst of wedding planning herself. So we're super excited to have you here today with us, Milka. Congratulations, and welcome to the Bouquet Toss.
Glad to be here. Thank you. I'm super excited to have this conversation with both of you.
We're so excited to have you. We really feel like your perspective as an expert in so many different areas and also a bride-to-be in the middle of the planning right now is super special and unique, and you are so smart, and we're just so excited to talk to you about everything. So I think let's just dive into it, right? So you are multilingual. You were born in Haiti. You studied cultures and anthropology. So now that you're, you know, in the throes of wedding planning, what are you focusing on most in your journey with your wedding?
Yeah, that's really a great question. For me, it's always been very important to make sure that there's alignment in my life and that I'm a very values-aligned person in everything I do. So between my professional life, my personal life, I try to take a very holistic view. And so it's really important for me, even as I'm planning my wedding, to make sure that I'm honoring myself and also honoring my values to ensure that I'm showing up not only as my best self, but feeling that I'm not compromising myself every step of the way. I sometimes feel like the wedding industry is a massive industry, and it's this entire machine that we get pulled into. And frankly, I feel like I've been trying to avoid it for years. My two older sisters, they got married when they were in their early 20s. And now I'm much older, and so it's something that I've always felt, you know, my culture, my family, weddings were a big thing. Everyone's had a big wedding. And while I shied away from it for a very long time, I now find myself also now planning a big wedding.
I feel like that happens to a lot of us. But, and, you know, I think being values aligned, I'm sure Jess is like super happy to hear that, because that is what the Budget Savvy Bride is like founded on, right? Jess, you want to kind of talk to that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an acronym that we use to define what savvy means. And so that is having shared vision of your day, that everything is in alignment with who you are and authentic to you as a person, and that your vision and your values are yours and not other people's. So like not influenced by external parties so much. So it really does like all tie back to being in alignment with like what matters most to you, what you value, and making sure that your vision for your life and your wedding day aligns with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's really honestly the only way to plan a wedding, because like you said, Milka, the wedding industry is so full of so many businesses and people and vendors and all these things, right? And then you kind of get to that point and you have the messages you've seen from the people before you. Maybe it's your sisters or your family or mom or somebody who, you know, your friends, people who've gotten married, and you see what they've done and you're like, okay, this is kind of what I'm supposed to do. And I feel like there's etiquette rules here or traditions that I'm supposed to follow, but I have no idea because I've never done this. And so you have to take a look at everything and be like, well, what works for me? you know, what do I want to be a part of my day? And when we were talking to you before we recorded, you said something beautiful, which I really liked, which was, what does it mean to bring your background into your wedding? And I would love for you to kind of talk a little more about how you're doing that and how, like, you can inspire others to do that also.
Yeah, that question, it connects with me because planning a wedding is something I've shied away from. As I'm doing it now, I'm trying to be very intentional to make sure that whatever elements that I'm bringing in, I get to both honor some level of tradition, but also get to do it my way, and we get to do it our way, me and my fiance, so that we feel that we are creating something that is also unique to us and not just this prescriptive idea of what a wedding should be and how it should look. I do also feel that, you know, with the wedding industry, the point I made earlier, how you get sucked into it. And I think for me, that's been a bit challenging. And I wish I had known about your podcast a lot earlier, because it would have helped me to not, I think, get as sucked into like the larger industry. And I would have perhaps felt a lot more confident trying to do things my way more. But for me, when I think about, you know, how do I bring in more of myself and my background to my work, my background into this wedding, which is not my work.
But it is work.
It is work.
Oh,
right.
It is work. It is a whole part-time job. Let's be honest.
It definitely is. Like, what I'm trying to do is, my family is very important to me. And so I'm trying to integrate them more in the wedding and giving people opportunities to participate. I have a lot of talented people. I have singers, I have musicians and DJs. So pulling in people to read a poem, sing a song, to actually even do like a dance routine during the reception. So just finding ways to make it fun and more of a community-based wedding. So it's not just, the focus is not really just on just the two of us, but knowing that, you know, it's an investment in people's time, their energy, and they're excited for us and they're supportive of us. And at the same time, how do we bring them? How do we bring them in and get them to participate? I'm really looking for ways to just also honor people. So one of the things that we're doing is, we were like, you know what? There are people, like certain couples in our family, who they're very admirable to us in the way that they've conducted themselves as a married couple for years. And we're like, you know, we're going to make sure we honor them during the wedding, and we find a way to spotlight them, because we just see them in many ways as iconic, and how they've been as partners in their lives and on their journey. So I'm finding ways to do little things throughout the ceremony that I feel are very much, you know, in alignment with how I see community, how I see being part of a collective, and not making it too, just being something that's very individualistic.
Can I ask, how are you planning to incorporate that into the ceremony specifically? Because, like, when I think about, especially like honoring like couples who've been together a long time and things like that, I think we see a lot of that at like the reception for like the anniversary dance, where they're, you know, they keep people out on the dance floor and to see who's been married the longest or whatever. But so I'm really curious to know how you plan to incorporate that in the ceremony.
So this is actually, it might be a bit cheesy, because I remember growing up.
Cheesy, you mean meaningful and heartfelt? I'm yes. So here for it. So
totally meaningful and heartful. So when I was a kid, so I actually walked in a lot of weddings. Weddings are huge in my community. And so we used to have like this ongoing joke, because we had like these very complicated steps that we would have to do to get down the aisle, and these processionals would take forever. We are not doing that at all. But what we are going to do, though, is I'm thinking there's two or three couples that we do want to honor, and would actually ask them if they'd like to be part of the processional. Right? Like going in, they get to come in together while everybody's already seated. So that's one thing that I've thought about. Another thing is also asking people if there's something perhaps they would like to say or even do. That's another approach. And that is something that I do a lot in my work. And I also always encourage clients to do that. As a DEI practitioner, one way to really encourage more inclusion is to actually ask people. I think sometimes we forget that, right? We feel like we have to tell people, oh, we need you to do this. But sometimes just ask, you know, if you had an opportunity, 2 minutes or 1 minute, to say something about me or us, or some wisdom you'd like to impart, what would it be? And for someone, it might be a poem. For somebody, it might be they want a verse from the Bible. Or for somebody else, It could be there's a proverb or saying, which is also something in my culture that's a way to transmit wisdom in a few words. And so, and that could take a few seconds and not very long. And so there are just different ways that we're trying to get creative, bringing parts of our culture that we value. And, you know, for me, I love to learn and take things that I can take into my future from others who've actually gone down a particular path. There's something they'd like to share with me. I'm like, this is the moment. And I also see it as an opportunity for other people who are single or younger, who are at the wedding, to have an opportunity to reflect on these things too.
I love that. That is so beautiful and so smart. Another thing I've seen done at ceremonies, now that I'm thinking about it, is I've seen where they will literally pass around the couple's rings through all of the guests in like the pews, I guess you could say. almost like as a way of like giving your blessings and your wishes for the couple before they exchange the rings.
I like that. It's a little scary. It's what if it like falls and gets lost?
Right.
But I actually really like that.
Or
idea.
Like maybe somebody has, I don't want to say like bad vibes, but you never know.
Like, but, no, but yeah, I agree. I put a hex on my rings or something.
I curse you. That's a new way of, instead of standing up when and objecting, you just put a curse on someone.
Right? For life.
Yeah, I really do think that getting people involved, like, I feel like I say this so much, maybe I'm a broken record, but often a ceremony at a wedding, like, feels like putting on a show in kind of an inauthentic way. And as somebody who, like, literally grew up in shows, like, on the stage, in the theater, people probably would expect me to be, like, leaning into that. But it feels to me like I want a ceremony not to feel like, you know, two people just get up in front of you and speak, and the third, you know, your officiant kind of like speaking at you and saying really beautiful things, but like for you to just watch. So exactly what you're saying, like, I think the reason I feel that way is that maybe if it doesn't feel like this community thing and it feels like we're just showing everybody else these things we prepared to say, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's interesting what you just said, because for me, I sometimes think back to the many, many weddings that I've been to, and it does sometimes feel like a show is being put on, right? There's like this performance and you're just there to observe. And I love the idea of it being much more participatory. And also, I do think this takes it takes some courage to do this. Inviting people to participate means you have very little control over what they're going to say, right? So if controlling every aspect of the wedding and everything everyone says is super important, this is something that's a bit risky to do. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's for the faint of heart to actually just allow people to just show up authentically and to say what they want to say. Because, and I also think sometimes, you know, people will say funny things and there might be humor. Some of you might say things that are very serious. You have to be also okay with people reflecting a mirror in front of you, and then you're okay with that. And so that's something that I'm okay with it. My fiance is okay with it. So we're okay with taking that risk.
Yeah, and it does help alleviate a little bit of that, like, this is like one day, that like the pressure of like, you have to get it right. It has to be perfect. Everything needs to fall in line. It kind of truly like tosses that idea completely and like on purpose.
Yes, and I'm okay with that actually, yeah. Because that is, for me, I've found, and I've also seen, right, when people hold on too tightly, I've seen the bridezillas and I've seen the women who do not look happy on their wedding day. And I'm like, wow, you spent like well over a year planning this. You should be having fun, not trying to micromanage every detail. And so for me, I'm approaching this as things will just naturally unfold, because that's just been how I feel like my life is. So I don't feel the need to overexert a lot of control and just allow things to just unfold and have a good time. Because I love having fun at parties. I love parties. And I'm going to have a lot of fun at my party.
Mm-hmm. It's her party.
Yes.
Well, and I think, too, there's probably ways, you know, that you can communicate, like, expectations or set some little boundaries. Yep. You know, communication is always key when it comes to that stuff. So, of course, you want people to show up authentically as themselves, but, like, also kind of sharing, like, what the tone or the expectation is could probably go a long way if you think someone might be, like, a wild card.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I will have, like, my sister, she's going to be, like, our MC coordinator type person. And I'm sure, like, she'll make sure nothing goes wrong.
The thing that makes your wedding day a success is that you're married at the end of it. So as long as that happens, everything else is just what it is.
Yeah. My background's in anthropology. And so weddings are something that anthropologists have studied them for a very long time. They're very much about rituals for your family, your kinfolk, so that they have a very clear milestone of when you've moved on to another stage of your life, right? And so that's something that, on the one hand, I think it's really important to honor that passage. It's a rite of passage that we have, you know, into another step in our life. I do also think that when you're doing it, giving people the space to also, I think there is an element of, they're also grieving too. Like on the one hand, they're happy and they're excited for you, but they're also grieving your single life, your single self. And now that you're stepping into like this couple. And so they also need that space created for them to let go and to align and for you to also let go. And I think that's one of the things I find very compelling about weddings.
Yeah, it's like almost like a graduation of sorts, right? From singledom into marriage and a couple and a new family entity that is joining two separate families together. I mean, there's so much there in that transition and the tradition, to be fair. Yeah. And the way that change in your life impacts all the people who love you, all the people who are going to be there and showing up on that day as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we have talked a lot about like things we can say, things we can do at the wedding that, you know, basically are showing what, you know, are in alignment with your values. I think we should also talk about how even like the place that you decide to go, the vendors you choose, how all of those things are in alignment with your values. So you have a great story about your venue. Can you kind of tell us a little about that?
Yeah, I feel like I lucked out because I really did, like, if we had a big enough backyard or had access to one, that's where we would have done it. But this is the perfect backyard. The venue is called The Secret Garden, Miami. One of my favorite books as a kid was The Secret Garden. So it was really interesting when my fiance and I, we were driving around South Miami looking for venues. And we just happened on this place. It wasn't even on our list of places to visit. And it was called The Secret Garden. And I turned there and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was my favorite book when I was a kid. And we were like, oh, let's go inside. And I was like, okay. And so we basically parked the car and walked in and we were so just in awe and amazed at this beautiful landscaped garden that just, it's this very fantastic place. It's one of the most beautiful gardens I've ever seen. And then we were both at that moment, we're like, okay, this is the place, we're gonna have our wedding here. Like after we didn't visit any more of the venues that were even on our list. We just believe that venue is a great reflection of us. Like we didn't want to do it in a church. We didn't want anything very traditional. I've always just liked more natural, also more bohemian type of venues for weddings. And I'm just really happy I got to find this place. And it also has this really kind of nice old school Miami look to it, which I think is really cool. And so once we found the venue, we just knew that it was perfect. And we also knew that having a caterer that had food that is very similar to, if not our typical cuisine, like Caribbean cuisine. So one of the vendors, it's a Cuban vendor. And so we also really enjoy, like when we tasted the food, we're like, okay, this is perfect. It's flavorful. The food is delicious. People are actually going to eat it. Because I've also been to weddings where the food was so bland. You went and got food afterwards because you just couldn't eat it. And so it was really important for us that the food is delicious. And so That's something that was top of mind. So we got this great Cuban caterer. So I'm just excited because we both like food. I'm a big foodie. So this is just another way to express, like, creatively, something that I enjoy.
So good. You found a venue. It feels like in alignment with what you value and what you're looking to share with your guests. I feel like sometimes, though, it can be hard to find venues and vendors that you're sure are kind of like in alignment with you and your values. And also, I think it's so important to be giving work to, you know, diverse vendors. And I would love for you to kind of talk about that and how that has played into your process of finding your vendors.
Yeah. Living in South Florida, I feel that I've lucked out with being able to find a lot of diversity when it comes to vendors, because South Florida is a very diverse place. And so my vendors are just different. Like, I have people who are Haitian, Jamaican, Cuban, Colombian. So just a great reflection of the whole Caribbean, Latin America geography, like landscape. So in a way, this allowed me to really be able to work with different types of people and also different types of vendors. What I've liked about all of them is just the level of care, detail, attention to detail, being very responsive. And as a business owner myself, it's really important for me. Like, I give very good service to my clients. And so I always really appreciate when I get that back when I work with vendors or I work with others, because it's just a reconfirmation, right? That we're all we're all able to relate to each other in a way that it's not just transactional, but we can honor, like, what, you know, our expertise and be mindful of that. So one of the things I have to say, like, I'm normally somebody who negotiates, particularly for work, but something I decided to do, even though, like, I went way beyond my budget, I've tried to honor people. Well, I tried to negotiate with the venue for sure, and also I did negotiate with the caterer. But, like, smaller vendors, like the photographer, as well as the hairstylist, makeup person, I just was like, you know what, this is what they do. I respect what they do. And I also know, as a business owner, when people try to bring down my prices too much, it can seem a bit offensive. So I respected them. I was like, look, you know, I'm working with a budget. Please be mindful of that. I would tell them that from the beginning. And I feel like everyone, for the most part, gave me a very fair price. And so I didn't even bother to try to negotiate down the prices out of respect for their work and knowing that they're also small business owners too. So that was, for me, a way of feeling that there's a level of fairness, because I know, you know, the venue, they're not going to bring down their prices that much, but it's a higher ticket item. But somebody who's a photographer who's going to make a lot less, I was like, well, it's kind of not fair to try to push too much on that end. So that's just something I've tried to honor, that to be equitable and to ensure that people feel like they're happy with what they're getting paid, because I know if they're not, then I might not get such good service. So that's something I've tried. I'm like, I'm not going to nickel and dime anybody here beyond what I think is reasonable. So I've been very good about that, being mindful about that.
Yeah, that is so important. I feel like it, you know, as you're planning a wedding, everything adds up so quickly, and it starts to get, you get really freaked out by the numbers, and they just kind of seem to keep growing. But it is really important to, like, kind of take a step back and be like, you know, if I have committed to doing this, there's going to be a certain amount of price, you know, involved. And Jess always talks about this too, like, these vendors are, a lot of them are sometimes even just, it's just them, you know, it's like a one person business, or they're small businesses and they need to get, you know, their needs met too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're still dealing with the aftermath of COVID and everybody kind of being shut down for a while. And so I do think, like, as the party planner, like the person that's throwing it, you kind of do have to, like, when you decide to do it, you have to be like, I'm going to do it. And yes, I'm going to make choices that work best for my budget. But when you have to commit to it, you got to commit to it. And, like, that includes remembering that tips are also involved, and, you know, keeping in mind that as much as, like, we would encourage anyone, hands down, to, like, figure out where you can bring a cost down somewhere. if not everywhere, right? But it is to a point. It has to be equitable for the people that are, you know, working with you.
100% agree. And that's something that I feel very strongly about it because I'm also a business owner, right? I feel like once you're in that position, you're more mindful because you know how it feels when people underprice your work too much. And so of course, I know not everybody has the privilege to do that, right? I've been very fortunate. My family's been super supportive. I have people who've taken on like paying for an entire vendor, like catering or flowers. I've been very fortunate on that end. And so that's something I really appreciate. I know not everyone has that, that level of support. And so you do what you can. I think for me, it's I would rather cut back on certain things than actually bring down somebody's price so much and they feel compelled to take it because they need the business. But at the same time, they're not happy or they're resentful that they're doing so much work for so little money. So that's just something I try to balance it.
Yeah, there's like a mutual respect that has to like be in any relationship and especially in like a business relationship. So it's hard to balance it all at the end of the day, but that's where coming back to like what matters most to you and focusing on the areas that do mean the most and finding ways to cut back in the areas that don't, you know, is just always like our best advice.
Yeah. So there are things that I'm not doing because I wanted that day to just be excellent. So there are certain things as part of like, you know, the entire wedding ritual that I'm not doing. I'm like, you know what, this is not necessary. And so I just released everyone in there. People like, look, I don't need a bachelorette. I don't need a wedding shower. I don't need any of that stuff. So that allowed, you know, me to also free up space to ensure that I gave people options. You know, if there were other ways they wanted to help. And I remember my maid of honor, who's actually my aunt, she really wanted to throw me a wedding shower, but I told her I don't need it. And so she totally understood. And I said, well, where would you like some help? And I had a very candid conversation with her. I was like, you know, this wedding is really expensive. And she's like, I want to help. And I was like, she's like, what do you have left? And I was like, well, the catering is the most expensive thing. And she was like, I'll cover that for you. And I was shocked, but I was so happy at the same. I didn't expect it. But I do feel that once I release people from the expectation of all these other things that they expected to happen around the wedding, it allowed me to just focus on that one day. And that's a choice that I made.
That was so well said because, yeah, that is absolutely a choice that can be made. Mm-hmm. But it has to be in alignment with what you want. And I think it's really great that you knew exactly what you wanted and what you needed and how you wanted to celebrate. But then, yeah, you were especially mindful of how these other people want to celebrate and like what they want. And I think that's something it's easy to forget. Like, I didn't really see this until I was wedding planning, but it becomes easy, I think, to forget that like everybody genuinely, like, they want to celebrate you. They love you. This is like, again, because we have weddings in every culture, like these rituals are things that everybody understands as being huge, big deal things, right? Like, this is a big thing. And the way you would feel that way for your friend, like, people feel that for you and they want to celebrate you. They want to do these things. Giving them that chance to communicate that to you and the space to do what they want to do, like, that is beautiful.
Don't get me wrong. That was a very difficult conversation to start because I know that my aunt really wanted to throw me a wedding shower.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it's just not necessary. And so it was a little uncomfortable, but I leaned into that. And I'm happy I did because it was also the way I was very intentional, like, to actually plan out how I wanted to approach the conversation because I didn't want in any way for her to feel hurt because, see, the wedding is not just for me. It's also for them. And so, like, having that conversation in a way that I felt, okay, would honor the relationship and not create any sort of, like, discomfort was really top of mind for me. So I made sure I approached it in a way that, you know, made me feel that we had an even stronger bond after that conversation.
I had, like, a totally kind of, like, the opposite, but kind of similar. I was, like, really adamant for some reason that I did not want a bridal shower. It feels like less and less people are doing them. I don't know if that's even true. Maybe it's just, like, the people around me, but I was like really, really very sure about this. And my sister was like, no, you're having one. It is a rite of passage. We're doing it. No. And I was like, but I'm telling you, I don't want it. And honestly, it was because I didn't want her and my mom to have to pay for it. Like, I didn't want the expense. And I felt like there was already so much money involved in the wedding itself, like on the day. And I just couldn't like really fathom more. It made me uncomfortable. And we really went back and forth for a while. And then her husband, he's going to listen to this and be like, haha. But her husband said something like, you know, your wedding isn't just the day. It's also the time leading up to it, because then after, it's, you know, it's different. You're married. And he was like, this is a time, like, we want to celebrate you. That, you know, one day, one bridal shower is not going to make or break anyone. Like, no one's going to be out of commission because of this. And it's something that they want to do. And also, it's something that helps kind of elongate the whole thing. You know, like, we're kind of, we're planning our wedding in way under a year. So it's not even like over a year and all this time. And when he said that, I was really like, wow. Because for a while I was like, I want them to do it for me if that's what they want. Because I was really like cognizant of the fact that the wedding is not just for me and my fiance. Like, they need to kind of, as you said, like mourn and grieve and be in the transition of the change that's going to happen too. So I really was like, I feel like it's for them. But then I realized, no, you know what? It is for me too. And I love the idea of having more time to like celebrate this thing. And I just told them, like, don't gloat that you were right. Like, you were right, but, like, I never said it.
I love that. I love
you
it
relented,
for you.
Ultimately. Yeah. You know, if it's just, like, certain personalities where you feel like, oh, like, I don't want to put you out. I don't want you to feel obligated, you know. But, like, if they're offering and they're enthusiastic and they want to do it for you, I don't know. Sometimes it can be hard to receive that and not feel like some sort of guilt. Like, I can totally relate to that feeling.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure other brides-to-be can as well. So it's like, if people are offering and they are enthusiastic to celebrate you, like, unless you just have like an absolute fear or something or some sort of like trigger about it, like, why not? Why not let them do that for you?
I mean, I do still feel like I should be calling it a wedding shower, not a bridal shower, because it's very heteronormative. And there's, you know,
we're constantly trying to keep tweaking the language.
Yeah. So I
to
do
be
still
more
feel,
inclusive, right?
Yeah.
I, you know, and I had said at first, like, I wanted it to be not just women. I wanted, like, you know, but then it was like just becoming another wedding. Like, it was everyone. And I was like, that's not. Yeah, like, so then I was like, that can't happen.
Fair point.
So, but I do have to kind of, like, a little bit fight against that, because I don't like what the tradition, like, came from, but I'm not focusing on that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this brings back the community aspect of your wedding, that it's not just for you and your fiancé, it's for everybody, your friends, your family, and, you know, a thing that we like to talk about, I don't know if you coined this, Jess, but, like, a friender, somebody being, like, one of your friends that ends up being a vendor for you, like, that's a cool way to do that and get people involved. Did you have anything like that, or were these people that you found, like, through extensive research? How did you come about your vendors?
On that end, I think I'm very fortunate. I have a very, like, diverse group of people in my network. So my photographer has actually been my photographer for a long time. He's done headshots for me in the past, of like business headshots and other, he's taken pictures with me in the past. He's somebody, I run into him at events all the time. So he was really easy to get. And actually, he doesn't even like to do wedding photography. So he's doing it specially for me because he knows me. But he normally does like shoots for models and others. So in the Miami area. So that's really nice. My DJ is also somebody, he's a music producer and a musician. And he DJs on the side, mostly for friends and family. And so when I told him I was getting married, he's super excited. He's actually a really well-known DJ in our, like, a well-known music producer in our community. And, you know, he was super excited when I told him, hey, I'm getting married. He's like, I'm going to be your DJ. And I'm like, yay. And so a lot of the people we have, like, my makeup artist is actually my cousin, who's fantastic. And she has done really great, like, makeup work for performers in entertainment, in the entertainment industry. And so she's going to be doing our makeup. And so as well as the hairstylist. So I've been really lucky because there's a lot of people here. Like Miami is a very entrepreneurial place. So a lot of people work independently, especially in the creative field. So I was able to get people in my network and to be able to support them, which was also the reason why I was like, you know what, whatever they ask for, like they're gonna be reasonable. I'm not gonna, you know, push because I know they know me and they're not going to like try to like put me out of commission. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, if only all of us had like all those amazing connections in our networks, right? Just for the record, I did not coin the term friender. I don't want to take any credit for that. but I do love the concept. And especially if you do have people in your network that do provide services or creatives, being able to pull them in is a great way to add to that community aspect and support your friends and family who might have those special talents and skills. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, you know, think there's situations where people may try to offer something for free, like maybe you would take them up on that. But I think it's so respectful and so amazing that you have chosen to say like, no, I'm paying your rate. What they're putting out to me is what I'm going to pay because I love these people and I respect them. And they, you know, their talents are worth being compensated for.
Yeah, the only person I'm not paying is my cousin.
Maybe she shouldn't listen to this episode. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I mean, it's a good thing to point out that like there are kind of two options for that. And there will be people, you know, I had a friend who one of her friends was getting married and she had said like, I would love to gift you the cake, but she's not a baker. Like she's a child's therapist, like she just loves baking.
A hobby and, baker.
A hobby, yes, absolutely. Okay. And she was, you know, they were kind of they weren't having a traditional like caterer or anything. It was definitely like the whole vibe of it was a very different style. And so her friend was like, oh my God, I would love that. And she like practiced and it was beautiful. She put like fresh flowers on it and it was awesome. Wow. And so that's like a version of somebody, you know, kind of gifting and coming in and being like, you know, I can do this type of thing for you. But it would be different if you did have someone whose like literal job was making a cake, then like you kind of have to look at that as a different situation.
Yes, for sure.
So I love all of this. This has given us so much to think about just in terms of how you go about making your wedding reflective of your community and including people in it. Before we wrap, we love to do a little like keep it or toss it. We've talked a lot about things that you want to toss, which I think is amazing. but is there anything else you can think of that like you, it's a tradition that you're like, I'm keeping this because I have figured out what it means to me? And is there anything that you've been like, nope, tossing that, don't want it?
Yeah, I know what I'm tossing. I actually had the conversation yesterday with my mom and I told her I want to walk down the aisle by myself.
How did she take it?
She took it fine, actually. It's to my surprise. I thought I was going to get some pushback. But what I did is I said I want her and my dad to walk in together, and that worked fine. So I never liked the idea of like being given away. Mm-hmm. I'm also an older bride. You know, maybe if I was 19 or 20, perhaps, but I've lived alone for like the last 20 years. So it just seems a bit silly to me. I'm not leaving my parents' house. So that was when I'm like, I'm definitely tossing that. I'm walking down the aisle by myself. Something to keep. I come from a traditionally like religious family. And so the person who's officiating, he is a pastor. I was like, look, the wedding has to be in under an hour. So if you're going to have a sermon, it should be like 10 minutes. So that is something I'm keeping because I always love people who, you know, have knowledge that they'd like to share, any wisdom. So that is something that we're going to keep.
Is the minister someone that you have like a personal history with? Like, does he know you? And
you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this.
She's related to them.
No. My sister's gonna kill me. The minister was actually my sister's ex-boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah, so actually I had to ask her first, is it okay if I ask? She was like, it's fine. Like, it was a long time ago. We've all moved on with our lives. It's okay. But he's actually somebody, I've known him, I think, since I was like 3 or 4 years old. I've known him a long time. But he was my sister's ex.
Milka, who do you not know? She has somebody for every part of her way.
I actually do know. I realize I actually know a lot of people, which is a little weird sometimes. But yeah, I've known him a long time. So it's actually kind of funny.
That's pretty cool.
I do love that. I think there's something special about when the officiant actually like knows the couple. And so I feel like something we're seeing so much in weddings recently is like couples having like a family member or a friend get ordained to perform the ceremony, because it does add, like, it brings even the people who may not know either of you very well or one or both of you very well, depending on how they got invited to the wedding, it brings them more into the conversation and gives them more context, I think, when the officiant is somebody who knows the couple well. So I love that, even though there's the weird like ex boyfriend situation, but
you not mine. So.
Yeah, I'm doing that too. My officiant is my brother-in-law, so it's my sister's husband. And we've actually known him and his family since I was 5.
Wow.
So it's like really, really special. And this was actually, my fiance and I decided that he was going to be our officiant like before we were even engaged. It was like one of the first things we like knew we wanted to do. And I had been waiting to do like a big kind of like surprise thing, because so his kids are all going to be like, they're the flower girls and the ring bearer, and I was going to do like this whole thing of asking them and my sister to be my maid of honor and then be like, hold on, there's one more and like surprise him. But it didn't happen because I just like couldn't hold it in anymore, and I was like, I just blurted it out and then I started crying and I was like, it just means so much to me because my sister is my best friend, but he's my best friend too. And then my sister started crying and we're just so excited. And he's texting us and giving us homework and like doing such a good job already. So
I love that. It's so sweet.
So sweet. And he's one of our top fans of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
He is. He really is.
Love it. Shout out.
Shout out, Matt. Love you. Awesome. Well, thank you, Milka. This has been such a wonderful, wonderful conversation. We want to see pictures. We want to hear about the day. Like, this is not goodbye. We need to know how everything goes. Do you want to share anything with our listeners about like where they can find you or the work that you do online or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. Happy to share a bit about myself, my business. So I'm actually one of the co-founders and partners at Different DEI. So whether it's on Instagram or on LinkedIn, you can find us at Different DEI. I'm not on X. No, thank you.
We're still calling it Twitter. We refuse.
Yeah, I always called it Twitter. So. A little bit about the company. At Different, we basically help liberate businesses from the constraints of conventional ways of working. And we basically do that by harnessing forward-thinking methodologies to help companies unlock the potential of all the humans in their organization. And so in a lot of how I'm showing up right now in my own wedding are many of the things that I try to practice as a practitioner in a diversity, equity, and inclusion space. And the more I really reflect on it, I'm like, actually, I am trying to do it in a way that is in alignment with my values and that I am showing up in a way that I can encourage participation and also make sure that it's the way I work with my vendors, that it's fair for everyone. So I've been really excited to really reflect on what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So thank you both, ladies.
Yes, thank you.
Love that.
You've been listening to The Bouquet Toss, brought to you by thebudgetsavvybride.com. For more tips, tricks, hacks, inspiration, and support, check out the links in our show notes. We are a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Get more information and check out other shows in the network by visiting evergreenpodcasts.com.
That's what ransomware is all about. It's psychological pressure.
Ransomware, when your computer's hacked into and your data held ransom. Attacks are on the rise, and Russian gangs are making billions of dollars.
The moment I got that message, I knew our greatest fears that we ever have are starting to come true.
The post-Cold War era is over.
.com, The Hacking. A new season from Crowd Network with me, Katie Puckrick. Just search for .com, that's D-O-T-C-O-M, and subscribe.